Right. Well, just going back over this past week, there wasn't a great deal of data that came out of the US, but the story there is, you know, concerns that, you know, Delta variant is going to take a bit of a toll on economic activity. And on top of that, we still got this inflation pulse coming through. We didn't get an awful lot more on so what's going on in the economy. We did get the initial jobless claims the most recent week. And these tend to suggest that, you know, despite that weakness we saw in the non-farm payrolls going back the week before, the labour market still looks pretty good. It actually came down to a low point for the current cycle, 310,000 from 345,000. So that's consistent with a much stronger non-farm payrolls than the one we saw going back last month. So maybe a little bit of support coming through there. But the inflation pulse is still there in the US. At the end of last week, we got factory gate or producer prices came out. Again, they were higher than expectation. The market thought that the July PPI would be up 0.6% month on month. It was up 0.7%. And as a result of that, the year-on-year has now gone up from 7.8% to 8.3%. So it really is sort of getting up there quite high. Core producer prices were expected to be up 0.5%. They were up 0.6%. So that elevated those on a year-on-year basis to 6.7% from 6.2%. You know, all this is the story about what we've had through this year so far is obviously a big pickup in demand, but supply hasn't been able to meet it because of the various problems with supply chains and other issues. From the central bank's point of view, this is all temporary. It resolves itself for a period, and therefore they shouldn't be reacting to this blip upwards in inflation. The only problem is it's still holding up there, and we're still seeing this strong pipeline of inflation in places like the US. This week in the US, we'll be watching inflation again because we had the PPI last week. CPI comes out on Tuesday, and this one for the month of August. And the market is expecting that the headline CPI will be up 0.4% month on month and the core CPI up 0.3%. If that's the case, that would just cap off the annual change in the CPI and bring it back to 5.3% year on year from 5.4% going back to July. And the core CPI would come back to 4.2 from 4.3. It's a big if, you know. Hopefully we don't get an upside surprise on this one. And we know there's a ticking time bomb inside the US CPI, and that's the cost of shelter. And the cost of shelter or housing costs, they do feed through with a long lag inside the CPI because of the way in which the data is captured. And at some point, you know, what we've seen running through house prices is going to start to elevate through the CPI as well. So there's still a lot of risk around the CPI, watching that one, that'll be one of the key reports for this week. There's a few activity indicators as well, some of them leading indicators. You know, we get the beginnings of the regional manufacturing purchasing managers' reports. As always, that starts with New York State or the Empire State. Going back a month ago, there was a little bit of slippage on that, but it was still a pretty strong result at plus 18.3. Zero is the expansion contraction marker on that one. Expecting that to come back only very slightly to 18, so essentially still holding up. We get August industrial production. Industrial production is the strongest part of the US economy, so plenty of demand running through and factories trying to keep up with that. So expecting another 0.5% month-on-month rise after a 0.9% increase going back the month before. And then we get retail sales for the month of August, and this has been running just a bit softer over the last month or two. And this is where the market starts to become a little bit concerned about whether there's this softer patch starting to develop in the US economy and US demand. So August retail sales are actually expected to fall by 1%, and this is down to, you know, some patchy restrictions which were reimposed in the US to try and get on top of the Delta outbreaks which are occurring there. Minus 1% from minus 1.1% the month before. And core retail sales down about 0.1% after being down 0.4% for the month before. In terms of China, some interesting readings last week. There's one indication that global demand is perhaps not softening as much as people expect, because China is still essentially the factory of the world. And so August exports out of China were quite a bit stronger than the market expected. They lifted by 25.6% year-on-year. That's an acceleration from 19.3%. We were expecting a deceleration down to 17.1%. So that's a pretty significant miss and very much on the upside. So some suggestion there that there's a bit more strength running around the global economy than perhaps people think. And it was there on the import side too. Imports, which were expected to decelerate to 27% year-on-year from 28.1%, actually accelerated to 33.1%. So just an indication, demand's just running, it is a bit of a surprise that things are running just a little bit better in China than we were anticipating. And on the inflation front, quite a difference in their CPI and producer prices. And part of the reason for this is that the CPI is often domestically generated prices for services and bits and pieces which are holding down. But manufactured goods prices, which you tend to get in their factory gate prices and producer prices, they're mostly exporting that to the rest of the world. And what we saw in the CPI was that the annual inflation rate came down to 0.8% year on year from 1%. And producer prices accelerated against expectation. They're already high at 9% year-on-year, went up to 9.5% year-on-year. So again, another one of those signs that in factory goods, the pipeline is still very, very high in inflation in the supply chain. And that's going to be reflected in many places around the world. So just watching that one with some care. There was also just a hint of some thawing in the relationship between the US and China. Basically, President Xi hasn't spoken until last weekend with President Biden in the United States. That changed at the weekend, and there was an hour and a half phone call between the two leaders. So maybe just a hint that they want to talk about issues rather than just putting up not an iron curtain but a bamboo wall between the two countries. It was certainly enough to give a little bit of life to some of the Australian resource stocks which trade in London going back on Friday, where there's some reasonable rises running through those stocks on the hope of this little bit of a settling in the problems between the two countries. This week in China, we get all the regular data, which will give us a fix on domestic spending in the economy, and that includes fixed asset investment spending, industrial production, and retail sales. Fixed asset investment spending still coming back. That's largely because the authorities over there are taking close interest in the property sector. They can't challenge it too much because it constitutes 25% of the economy, but they are trying to bring some of the major property developers there into line, and so causing, again, a little bit of uncertainty and some angst about how the Chinese economy might perform. But fixed asset investment spending, where the construction numbers tend to show up, is expected to come back to 9.1% year-on-year in August from 10.3% going back to July. Industrial production, there's also some official constraints on steel production at the moment, trying to get some of the inventories down of iron ore, which are on the ports at the moment, and not getting through to the steel mills. And so industrial production is expected to come back to 5.8% year-on-year from 6.4%. And then retail sales. This is the one that the authorities would really like to see rise, because when Chinese are not spending, that in itself can be like, we'd almost call it an opinion poll here on what they feel about the government. When they're feeling that the government's got their back, helping them to get wealthier, they're happy to spend. If they're not so happy about that, then that spending tends to come back, and it's been coming back quite a bit over the last month or two, from 8.5%, it was down to 8.5% year on year going back to the month of July, is expected to fall further to 7.1% for the most recent month. Turning to Australia, and obviously we had the RBA last week, and we didn't have much data. We had ANZ job ads. They are starting to come off a very, very high peak, as you'd expect, given what we've had with the lockdowns in Victoria and New South Wales over the past month. But they only came down by 2.5%, ANZ job ads, after being down 1.3% the month before. So comparatively small reductions, given that they're up something like 60% year on year. Not a lot of damage showing through those just yet. We had the RBA meeting, and the RBA essentially left things unchanged. Now it did follow through with its earlier announced plan to taper bond purchases from $5 billion a week to $4 billion a week. The only reason that seems like a change at all is because large parts of the market, including three of the four big banks, were expecting that the Reserve Bank would backtrack on that announcement because of some of the potential near-term weakness to the economy between the August meeting and the September meeting, and might just leave things at $5 billion a week. They didn't. They're going to taper. It will be $4 billion a week. But they've also announced that they will be buying at least $4 billion a week all the way through to mid-February 2022 at least. This is not a sign that they're really sort of changing very much. We've still got very, very low interest rates. None of those interest rate settings were adjusted. And the commentary from the Reserve Bank is still very much along the lines that the economy was doing way better than expected, was much stronger than expected until the latest Delta wave hit. Their view is expressed in the statement that came out with the last monetary policy meeting, is that it's only going to be temporary damage as far as the economy is concerned. They expect things to be recovering on their central scenario from the middle of the fourth quarter as vaccination rates get up and we start to slowly open up the economy again, and they expect the economy to get back to its pre-Delta variant hit sometime in the third quarter of next year. So essentially not a lot of damage to their plans, and their view on that is they're still sticking with, we're aiming for full employment, we think that what we're seeing through inflation is temporary, will come back, and basically nothing on the interest rate front all the way through to 2024 at least. And that looks a little bit more credible given what we've seen running through recently. The other thing I've mentioned about the $4 billion a week of bond purchases, remember back to the budget. The budget, when it was brought down in May, said that the underlying budget deficit for this current financial year would be around about $161 billion. So if you annualise the $4 billion, they're still more than covering the planned budget deficit for this year. And where you see that in force is that two-year bond yields have been sitting on zero for quite some time now, not even at 0.1, which is the target for the three-year bond yield. We've still got very, very accommodating monetary policy for the foreseeable future. A little bit of mention about housing, that they are watching it, but they'd only become concerned if they saw evidence of poor lending practices coming in. So that's the same sort of commentary we've had over recent weeks, over recent months. This week in Australia, we've got second quarter house prices coming out on Tuesday, the ABS version, and they're likely to show a rise of 6.1% quarter on quarter after a 5.4% increase the month before. That'll take the annual change up to around 11% year on year from 7.5% going back to Q1, obviously we're getting quite elevated house prices. We get business confidence and business conditions for August, the NAB survey, and also the September Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey coming out on Tuesday and Wednesday. NAB business confidence was down at -8 going back to July. It'll be worse than that for the month of August, given that was peak month for the lockdowns. We also get business conditions. Business conditions were still holding up because businesses in Australia are still reporting very, very good profits. And so that was at plus 11. It'll probably come back, but may still have a positive sign on the front of it. Consumer sentiment, we had a lot of the income support measures announced over the past month. So it was down 4.4% going back to August. It might lift a little bit for the September reading. And then we get the August labour force data coming out on Thursday. This one, yeah, I'd have to say that economists' predictions are literally all over the shop. That's because it's so hard to tell how much employment fell. The median is around minus 70,000, but you've got forecasts which range all the way up to minus 300,000. That was after employment rose, surprisingly, by 2,200 the month before. It's also hard to work out exactly what may happen on the participation rate. Typically, people tend to get discouraged in the types of conditions we've had over this past month. So the market consensus is that the participation rate will come down from 66% to 65.5%. And on the basis of that, the unemployment rate will lift from 4.6% to 4.9%. But again, a very wide range on people's forecasts where the unemployment rate will go. All we can say is we've taken a hit in the near term. We've got to recover all that before we get back onto the old track. And it's full employment that is what the RBA is tracking at the moment. So just watching for that as we go ahead. In Europe last week, we had Centix investor confidence came out. It came down a bit, but still actually quite strong at 19.6%, down from 22.2%. There was no changes to second quarter European GDP. There was a revision that came out, but still running at 13.6% year-on-year, 2% quarter-on-quarter. So Europe, one of the strongest parts of the economy. There was no real change at the ECB, so still holding their minus 0.5%, with some indications of tapering, much as there have been in most other central banks, but still essentially a very accommodative monetary policy setting. This week in Europe, we get industrial production data and trade data, but nothing really significant coming out as far as Europe's concerned. So broadly speaking, the big events this week, watching US inflation here in Australia, really watching just to see what happened to the labour force data in August, which was a month where obviously we had quite a bit of damage that came through from the various restrictions which are in place.